Dang, Randy, this sounds amazing. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of the Talosum Tech Podcast with official soundtrack by Randy, who very graciously has donated his talent and time into making a track that's going to play the beginning and end. So I hope you guys like it. We definitely love it. If you don't like it, we don't care. So we're going to keep doing it. Anywho, how are you guys doing? So much has happened since the last time we recorded. How's it going?
Oh, man. First of all, the fact that for our listeners, it's Sunday night as we're recording this. So normally we record Saturday. Nick and I have been on travel. And yes, it's been a very busy week.
We had all over
keynotes. We had travel. Like, you're right. We have so much to do. But we had to sit down. Yeah, 100%.
It was getting to the point where, like, I knew I wanted to talk about all this stuff, but I hadn't had an outlet to talk about it yet. So I'm excited to dump all of my Apple emotions.
And we haven't talked about it off air or anything like that.
We've this is all been fresh takes.
I don't even know what we're. I don't even know what's about to happen.
Now the hype anticipation all leads up. We've got iPhone event to talk about, which we were featured in. Talosum Tech Podcast made a cameo appearance in the iPhone 11 ad, which is now permanently ingrained in Apple's keynote and commercials forever, which was not expecting.
Yes.
Yes. As soon as, like, anybody who for future events wants to go watch old events again, we are ingrained in that permanently. So that makes me really, really excited. Feels like the Tech Podcast is
All the guys saw it, and they were reaching out to us because we all watched it, but it wasn't something I was keeping my eye out for. And people were like, yo, did you see it? And we were all getting tagged in it. I'm like, wait,
what's going on here?
Exactly. Timestamp where it didn't happen.
I've been asked by a lot of people, what are your favorite 10 frames of an Apple event? And before, I probably would have said, like, you know, the Apple Watch unveiling or something boring. But now I can say the 10 frames where my podcast start was on the big screen, live streamed and broadcasted to millions of people. Oh, it was the...
I've peaked. We're going home.
I'm sure we got a huge surge in listeners after
that. Oh, so many. Oh, just, my goodness, thousands.
Yeah, I love
it. Right, yeah. Anywho, that was an exciting thing, so I just wanted to get it out of the way from the get-go.
You know what didn't happen at the Apple event, though?
What was that?
One more thing.
No, I know. Oh, my God, that annoyed the crap out of me.
I was right.
Oh, that's why Nick wanted to bring it up. He couldn't wait. Well, I hate to be the one, guys, but I was right. Yes.
It's never
me. You have your victory, Nick.
I do, and I'm going to keep rubbing it in your face because you guys were giving me a hard time about it last week. Oh, Nick, of course there's going to be one more thing. This one guy who has 14 posts said it's going to be...
Don't count the eggs until they hatch.
Be careful, Nick, because the story might develop a little bit further than the September event.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying. About that later. But before we get into what wasn't, why don't we talk about now that we're finally all three together, what did you like or what were you most excited for at this event? And we'll get into the negatives too, people.
Dude, I was so pumped about the new iPad. Oh my goodness. I was just...
Right? Wasn't that exactly what everyone was
expecting?
Yes,
that's why I showed up. That's definitely why I showed up.
C. the trailer for C. iPad. That was my highlight.
That was really interesting.
No.
Or are you joking?
Okay.
No.
I thought he was serious.
Both Drew and I are looking at each other.
I was continuing on with the sarcasm.
Yeah, bring up a great point. Have your guys' opinions of Apple TV Plus changed at all?
100%.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to get a year of it free, so it doesn't matter what I think yet.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Does that change your opinion? Like, were you going to not get it before, but now you're kind of interested in some of those shows? Or are you still not going to watch any of it?
No, I'll watch it now for sure. I think I would have done whatever trial period they would have offered from the get-go.
It's only 7 days, which honestly is pretty short for most.
Really, just
services.
7 days?
Well, I thought we had a year free.
And you have to.
Well, if you buy a new Apple product, it's a year free. But if you don't buy a new Apple product, it's a 7-day free trial.
Oh, who's not which buying? Who's not buying a new Apple product?
Not it.
Randy's like, are there broke listeners out there?
Ew, gross. No, okay,
Randy's
so
adjusting his monocle.
Let's pretend there was no promo on the table for anything, 7 days or a year free.
Yeah.
As it stands right now, no, I would not have done it yet because there's not enough original content to keep me And this is not one of those things where I want to be an early adopter, because when it comes to entertainment, the rules are different. You don't become an early adopter and all of a sudden the show gets better. It's either good from the right. get-go, or it's not, based off of the writing and all the writers and stuff like that. And I think this is something I would rather let other people try out first. And not that I weigh so heavily on what other reviewers have to say, but I just want to watch enough feedback where I can form my own opinion. And right now, the morning show, I think those are the only two that
Peanuts and Mankind.
That was interesting. I'm not going
to
lie.
Come on, guys. This is my favorite show. I'm looking forward to Peanuts
Dickinson.
And
Dickinson. Wild Nights.
Are they moving over like Carpool Karaoke to Apple TV Plus?
I hope not. Question. That thing needs to die.
What if that stayed on Apple Music for some reason? It's like, no. That's an Apple Music.
The only thing that has like an actual catalog that you can go back and like, oh, look, that's a thing. All right.
Cool. Yeah.
You know.
Cringy videos. Otherwise,
I would have waited.
Well, I was totally shocked by the $4.99.
Yeah,
that blew me away.
Yes.
Oh, they knew what they were doing.
I think that was a last-minute change, to be honest. I think that was the plan from the get-go. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but way back in March, after the services event, Nick was the one on this podcast suggesting that Apple TV Plus was going to cost like $20
a
month.
Oh, yeah. That's the price I walked into this event thinking it was going to be. Because
I would have never paid
Disney,
that.
Disney Plus is coming out, and I know that I'm going to already be doing
$7.
That. Yeah, $7. I've already been like,
Did you buy the 3-year plan with Disney Plus already?
I want to try it out first. And so I don't think I'm going to do the entire 3-year thing up front, because that was just, if it was like a year up front, I might have done it, but like not 3 years. That was just too much of a commitment up at once before I had any of it.
Well, it's a 2-year commitment for three years.
But I'm glad
you weren't the person to do that, because I saw people doing it and I was like, I get why you think that's a good deal and everything, but it's just sad to me.
That's the length of a lease of a Tesla.
Exactly, right? Like, I don't know where I'm going to be in 3 years.
So much will change.
I just don't understand why Disney wanted to stop at 3 years. Why not? Like, if you have the people that are willing to be like, yeah, I want to subscribe to
forever.
A streaming service for 3 years, why don't you do 10? Go for 10.
Like, I want to take a life insurance policy out on the streaming service. Yeah.
Right, but yeah, I think, anyway, Disney
so, Drew,
Plus was
I don't think,
super competitive.
So I think this was planned because this year, I don't want to quote any other people, John Prosser, but Compromise was like, they took a cut on the phones. And I know we're jumping ahead, but just like foreshadowing, like they cut costs on everything we were expecting to at least be maintained at either $10 a month or $700 out the door. Like, I feel like all of our expectations were set at a realistic expectation of what we
based on previous Apple.
Yeah,
events.
I was like, okay, that makes sense, and I'm cool with that. And the fact that every single day, everything that they did, it came in and they undercut our expectations was very refreshing. And I was like, oh. And so maybe not in the moment. If you look at it as an isolated event, it might look like, oh, okay, I think this was a last minute change. But I feel like, but for everything, they have like a new, not a campaign, but like they have a new push that they're trying to do, knowing. Actually, Drew, you brought it up in one of your videos this week, I think, or last week. No, it was this week.
Oh, okay.
The whole like, if it wasn't for the services of everything else, whether it's iCloud or Apple Music, which are the existing, now we got Apple Card and everything, Apple News Plus. If it wasn't for the services portion of, you know, pumping blood through the machine, I don't think maybe this would have been the approach. But the fact that diversification on the services end is now rolling out, I feel like they were able to kind of take a chance. Let's see what the first year is like. And if it hurts their bottom dollar, as a for-profit company, I won't blame them for raising prices, and this is like a promo thing. But if it doesn't hurt them, then this is them trying to recoup market share in all sectors of their product lines and stuff like that. So I feel like there was some premeditation involved. They might not have wanted to do it, but the fact that they did do it has us talk about it in a positive light. I am excited, and it has changed my outlook in that sense that I will give it a try, but realistically, because of the promo that we're going to get with it. But I think this is an amazing. I wasn't expecting this. None of the keynote was I expecting, good or bad. I wasn't expecting it, and I think it's good because I like to be surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were Mac rumors leaks that the Apple TV Plus was going to be $9.99, mm-hmm. which is why I would argue I think it was a last-minute decision, because when they originally launched or unveiled, not launched, when they unveiled Apple TV Plus back in March, Disney Plus didn't have a price yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
They didn't know what the number was going to be. And I think once Disney announced theirs, Apple was like, oh,
crap.
Okay. We can't price ourselves higher than that. Yeah. And now that they've priced themselves where they are, and it's also, you can share it with the whole Apple ID family, mm-hmm, which I think is really cool. So you can share that with six different Apple ID accounts for the $5 a month. And of course, the free year. $4.99 was, I think, way cheaper than everyone was expecting, mostly because Apple News Plus is $9.99.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No definitely. One was expecting News Plus to be the most expensive subscription they launched.
I don't think Apple was.
Out of everything. No, like, out of all the four services that launched this year, News Plus, yeah, that's the pricey one.
Yep.
By a long shot. Arcade, $5
gotta
a month.
Get those,
TV Plus, $5 a
gotta
month.
Get those
Apple
magazines.
Guard, free.
That anime, you gotta get those animating magazines.
That's, but hey, yeah, it. Like someone's hair flows on the magazine mm-hmm. cover. $10
it.
A month.
Worth it. Do you think Apple it. Wants to maintain, because you know they have a long, vibrant, healthy relationship with Disney, and I feel
yeah,
like
Bob Iger
do they?
Just left.
Yeah, the yeah, Paul, what's his face just left.
I think that makes sense though, because it was probably just a conflict of interest. It was too awkward. You know, when you have the board getting into streaming services and Bob Iger's there, like, so, where should we price TV Plus? What do you think Bob Iger's input is? So, it's like, higher.
We're having a Google Android flashback.
So I can tell you this just from business school. Bob Iger has zero input on the pricing of Apple TV Plus or Disney Plus. Like he's at least two levels removed. Like that decision probably happened in the VP level and was approved by Tim Cook and maybe mentioned
so
to the board.
It.
Maybe mentioned by the mentioned to the board, but it wasn't mm-hmm. a board decision like, ooh, this should cost this much. And yeah. same on the Disney mm-hmm. side, honestly. That was probably a VP in Disney who passed it up to the CEO of Disney, and that was a veto approval, and then it was just passed on to the board like, hey, by the way, we're doing this thing. So I don't think that there is a fundamental conflict of interest. I think you're right, it could be awkward for Bob Iger to be there in the room for, you know, those types of meetings, you know, talking about the future of those two things. But at the same time, I don't think that's why he quit. I mean, and he's a board member. They show up, you know, they maybe do 15 days worth of work a year for these companies and get paid, you know, $2 or $3 million a year to
so
do it.
So why do you think he left?
There's probably a thousand reasons. It could be just retirement. Like he's getting older, you know, after a certain point, you know, this happened,
I think it's just awkward.
This happened with Angela Ahrens. Angela left the Apple retail VP because she said that she had made enough money and that she wanted to just spend it and like have a chance to spend it because
Nick, go ahead. This is the CEO of Disney.
Yeah.
Can you see, imagine him saying we've made enough money. It's Disney.
No, not we.
They
it's
want
him.
It all.
Him. Him personally. He might just want to take a step yes. back and spend those 15 days doing something else.
Yeah, I
vacationing
think
was, in the I Bahamas. I don't know. Just
all these coincidences of TV Plus and Disney Plus getting ready to launch.
Take your tinfoil hat off, Drew. Gosh.
Oh, come on. You have to put a tinfoil on to believe that it was a coincidence.
Sorry. I got a little confused with that FaceTime mirror thing. I didn't know which one was you and which one was me.
I don't know. We could go back and forth on that.
I feel like, personally, and maybe this is, I am looking at it through, you know, what's the saying? Well, rose-colored glasses.
Sure.
Rose gold like colored glasses. I believe that's the
sure. Thing. There you go, buddy. Oh, there you go. I feel like both Apple and Disney have so many more other just financial
revenue streams
that come through that the streaming is new to both of them that it could still be like a partnership of sorts. The same way Amazon finally, you know, buried the hatchet with Google and they're back on their partnership game. It doesn't have to be the old one has to die for the other to succeed mentality because that's just not the industry today as a mm-hmm. whole. And that also doesn't mean, though, me trying to be as fair as possible, that it doesn't cause a conflict of interest, because now you got Disney and Apple in competition with one another when it comes to entertainment. But Bob Iger knew this was coming for the longest time. That's why I feel like him just leaving abruptly, this would have been planned out a long time ago, because he knew. He would have known before it was publicly announced to the rest of us that this was a route that Apple wanted to approach and share with, and they can just have a different model of what they want to do that keeps the whole ecosystem thriving. So I would like to believe that it's all on good terms, just because I like the partnership that Apple and Disney has had since Steve Jobs and Pixar and all that. I think it's healthy. I don't like it when companies are trying to kill each other more than collaborate, even if it's as strictly business as Samsung and Apple with the displays and stuff like that.
Harsh competitors and still work behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. And the consumer.
I would hate to see them go to war, because they're both titans in their own right for different reasons, and it'd be messy.
Yeah. And
what are you going to say, Nick?
And as a consumer, you win when companies are competitive work together.
Exactly.
You get a better iPhone with a Samsung collaboration. You get a better streaming service when Disney and Apple are competing. You know, it's a win for the consumer either way.
Yeah.
And I think TV Plus has become. I'm probably wrong, but someone correct me out there. TV Plus has become the cheapest ad-free streaming service you can get now.
And
I think you're
right. Because Tim Cook is into this, we talked about YouTube before.
I can think of one cheaper. No, sorry, not cheaper. Same price for Apple, though. Student discount with Apple Music.
But, I mean...
I was talking TV streaming.
Oh,
like a Netflix or a
Hulu? How much is Hulu?
Wait.
There is a cheaper Hulu plan, but it has ads. So that's why I said ad-free.
Interesting.
Cheapest ad-free streaming service.
It's also probably
the smallest streaming service.
Granted, yeah. I was like, it deserves to be the cheapest, because there's the least amount of content probably of any streaming service. But at least Apple could see its own value and be like, yeah, this is not worth that much. Let's not ask that much.
Right.
So that was good. I thought that was a good move, and the 1 year included thing is like, well, now I have like very little reason to not watch these.
How do you think they're going to include the 1 year of free Apple TV Plus with the new purchase? Because you have to actively redeem it. It just doesn't automatically come on your account, because they could totally do a U2 Bonos type thing and say Apple TV Plus is now the most subscribed TV channel because everyone has an iPhone.
Was a one-time thing. This is a subscription.
I meant what they'll do is offer you like 1 year is included free, but you still have to click the subscribe button because they're counting on people forgetting about it 12 months from now. So you have to hit a confirm, because it confirms that after the 1 year, you agree to the $4.99 a month. They want that term to be confirmed right when you sign up, so that 12 months from now, I guarantee you 80% of people won't even remember that they agreed to it. So
can I be honest with you guys? I think
this is where all the profit comes from, is forgetting to unsub.
And it works, because that happened to me with YouTube Red back in the day. I had 3 months.
You wanted to unsub?
I wanted 3 months free, and I got three months free, because they kept throwing it in my face, 30 days free, 30 days free. And I kept, no. I don't get it. That's fine. No, I'll watch ads. I don't care. I got 90 days free, and then after the 90 days, I forgot. I was like, oh, I got charged $12 or whatever it was. And then I was like, I'll get it next month. Next month happened. Oh, I forgot. And then by the third month, by another 90 days this time of me paying, I was like, you know what? I see the value in this. So I kept it.
Yeah, I was not like you at all. As soon as YouTube Premium was announced, back then it was called Red or whatever, I was like, take my freaking money. I am so sick of ads on YouTube. I'd been asking for it for like a year before they actually did it. I was like, YouTube, I would totally pay you. I would pay way more than what they're asking. I'd pay them like $20 a month to get rid of ads, and it ended up being 10. Now it's gone up. 12, I think the 12 or 13. $12.99 now.
Yeah.
It's still worth it to me because of how much freaking YouTube I watch. It makes
sense. Did not know until like maybe I was being fed like subliminally like with the ad. I did not know how many ads I really was getting.
Right.
Until afterwards, because my wife on her account doesn't have Red, and she likes to have her own account because she wants her own algorithm of recommendations and stuff like that. And she was like me back then about not caring, like, ah, whatever, it's an ad. It's a 30-second ad. But when I sit and I watch it with her, I get so agitated.
Yes.
We can't
skip it. I'll click on a video and go, this is not what I asked for. I didn't want to watch this. What is this bull crap?
I clicked the wrong button, so then I close out of it, and they're like, what are you doing? That was the video. I'm like, no, oh, that was an ad.
Oh, that was an
That's
ad.
That's what that is. Again.
I don't then, speak broke.
Yeah, so then at that point, I'm just like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Chucks the phone in the garbage disposal.
For YouTube, I will pay a lot of money.
Yes, because I watch it more than anything. I watch more YouTube than Netflix.
I watch that
or
more.
Prime Video.
Same.
Yeah.
I will pay $20 if that's the case.
Yeah, Netflix.
Google, please don't do that.
Red. I hope YouTube's not listening to this.
I know. YouTube.
Lower your prices, YouTube. They're too dang high.
Apple sheep.
We don't want to pay. Don't want them knowing we'd pay a lot.
I know.
Don't let them know that.
Yeah. So do you think Netflix like is going to survive this?
Yes. I think so. Yeah, of course. They're originals.
They're going to take a hit. Yeah. I will agree that
November 12th,
Disney
I'm Plus,
I've already unsubbed. I haven't had Netflix for several months now. But
I never subbed.
Disney Plus.
Okay, Drew.
Well, I will say it's not that fun because when I found out there was a Breaking Bad movie coming, I was like, "Oh, honey, we got to get it back now."
I'll let you guys know how it is.
Either way, though, like I saw a demo someone uploaded of what the Disney Plus Apple TV app looked like at the Disney Expo or whatever, and the number of titles that you don't realize are owned by Disney. A lot of people are like, well, it's, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, it's the mainstream stuff. I don't like the mainstream stuff. Netflix has a back catalog. Like, it's like, no, Netflix owns way more than you think. They have just as large a back catalog as Netflix does, if not bigger. And the difference is they get to keep all of it. It's not per month basis.
Yes.
So Disney Plus will definitely hurt Netflix's subscriptions. But there were some people saying like they're going to die. They won't die. They have enough originals. And there's a lot of people who don't even know how to unsubscribe from Netflix. And they have the Netflix budget every single month goes towards royalties for streaming all different kinds of content. And a factor a lot of people don't play into is like, oh no, Disney's going to take all the Marvel and Star Wars off of Netflix. It's like, well, you know, think of that as the flip side. Now Netflix doesn't have to pay Disney all that crazy money.
Yeah.
So their budget for other titles will also continue to rise. So they'll be able to get more streaming rights from elsewhere as the most popular titles they can, but then obviously NBC.
And realistically, I think guys are going to keep both. They'll keep Disney and Netflix, or then and then maybe Apple TV Plus if that sticks around after a year. I mean, I'm in the camp that really, if it was like black and white, I would probably unsubscribe from Netflix. But the fact is, the mother-in-law has this the highest tier member, you know, account one. She gives it to all of us.
That's what I had before.
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, she would come down and visit, she's like, I want Netflix on it. So she kept it and she goes, she's like, make your profiles. I don't care. And so she keeps it. And then she told us, she's like, you know, honestly, I want to keep it for you guys now because I don't even watch it anymore. I'm like, are you going to Apple TV Plus? And she goes, I don't know. I just don't want Netflix anymore. So if she kills it, I probably wouldn't renew it realistically just because I try to be budget friendly. But then that's me saying it, you know, black and white. But the fact is there's so many accounts out there and people do you know, bum off of other people's accounts and stuff like that. I have
that's friends. A lot of people actually.
I use HBO. I don't subscribe to HBO, but I have HBO and they use our Hulu. Like it's we do just trades. You pay for this, I pay. It's us just sharing the cost.
Fair piracy, you know.
But everybody wins, and they get the money on the back end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So iPhones.
I've been binging Parks and Rec in The Office in preparation for NBC pulling that from Netflix. And after that disappears, honestly, there are zero shows I watch on Netflix. The only reason why I have Netflix are for those two shows and the occasional like, oh, I wonder if that's on Netflix, you know, and.
Well,
that's going to be on
Disney. I can give you 13 reasons why.
Oh!
Sorry. There was the pitch.
He threw it.
Fumble score.
I had to bring it up. Sorry. Okay. No, do we have any more thoughts on the streaming services?
No.
What? Because we've been talking so much about services.
No, to be honest, this was just foreplay. I'm ready to talk about the iPhones.
Do we have to get up to the Apple Watches? That's how this works.
Yeah, okay. So we're going through the event.
Okay, let's go through the events. Let's do
just
it.
Just like the podcast. And this podcast is going to be as long as the event. That's the funny thing.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Series 5 and how everyone was completely wrong about all the leaks.
That is true. But also, there was no sleep tracking.
There was no glucose monitor. There was no blood pressure.
There were new bands and titanium.
There was no ceramic or titanium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there was.
Those were like literally.
What did you think?
Okay. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, mine will be quick. Cool. I really like what it is. I like I was wrong. I also hate that I was kind of right about some other things. Overall, my fine. I don't treat Apple Watches the same way I treat iPhones or anything else. I will not be upgrading just because it's the Series 4, Series 5, too close. Always on display. The times where I need it to always be on is few and far in between. Anybody today, if they see me go like this, I'm not trying to be rude. They understand exactly what I'm doing because they know what a smartwatch is. And it's an issue that, you know, Apple's not the only one that has that issue. I got friends who have the Samsung Gear or whatever it's called.
Right.
And they have the same thing. So it's always on display is cool. And I like, you know, what's this word now? Doesn't matter. It's cool. Little things are cool. But the addition, it's not worth it for me. I will hold on to this for at least another year. Series 4 is perfect.
Okay. Nick?
I wanted a new watch, and now I don't. Based on... Oh! I know, right?
Oh, this is interesting. That's fascinating. So, Nick...
He was trying to get rid of his gold!
Yeah, before the event, you were, like, into the Series 5. What's changed your mind?
Yeah, basically sleep tracking. That was the feature that I was most excited for. I was also excited to see like some kind of new health sensor, like blood glucose or like blood oxygen.
I got really heated about that.
Blood oxygen or something. and so yeah, I was really excited for these features, and they didn't have any of the features I was expecting. And honestly, I get why they did Series 5 because there are new features. But those features are features I didn't ask for and I don't care about. I don't care. Like, I have never...
It is kind of in an awkward place.
I have never once been like, I wish my watch was on. It's like, it's intuitive. Like, and it's not even like you need to bring your wrist all the way up to your face to get it to turn on. Like, just a little rotation will do it. And like... It's not worth
or just tap
that.
It.
And like I don't want it to be on all the time. I want it to be off. It's a smart like I turn my phone off when I'm done with it. My watch turns off
it
when I'm done
cool
with it.
It kind of looks cool when it's off too, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sure like, I'll like it. Hiding? I'm sure I'll like it when it's the Series 6 and there's something else to get excited about, but these feature sets alone,
I don't know what it is, but something else.
Yes, right? Like
something with sleep maybe, tracking, I don't know.
Sleep tracking or like some kind of biometric sensors.
Sleep sugar tracking.
Yes.
Sleep sugar tracking.
Sleep sugar pressure.
I like that.
Yeah,
sleep sugar pressure. It's also not fair that the fact that like Series 4 was the biggest update the watch had.
Right.
How do you follow and act like that? You can't. We knew this was...
And I think if you ignore the Series 4 upgrade... And you just look at all the other upgrades, the Series 5 is perfectly reasonable for the number upgrade. Like, the 3-2 was so tiny, the 2-1, 0-1, and all that. Yep. Like, most Apple Watch upgrades are incredibly small, aside from the 4, which we all agree was enormous. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the 5 is a normal Apple Watch upgrade. A lot of people were acting like it was undeserved, that they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it needed to happen. But
just like software with iOS, you can't have a full redesign anything every single year. It's not going to be. That's how things get buggy and slow and clunky and just bloated. And I'm glad they're taking their time with this, and I'm glad they have their niche with it, especially with they're still fixated on health and with everyone giving their testimonies. Yeah. Like, I think it's great. It's doing exactly what it needs to do. With that being said, Series 4 was the iOS 7, you know? It's
right, right.
It's so drastic that, like, I don't mind hanging around for a little bit just to, you know, it's perfect. It's a good problem to have that Apple has, because, and I think they acknowledge they understand that maybe not everyone needs to upgrade. This is an amazing watch by itself. I love it, and it made me actually fall back in love with wearing an Apple Watch, because for a while I wasn't wearing it because I was old. I was tired of the old, you know, it just
clunky.
It felt dated. It felt aged. And then we got this, and it's perfect. It's everything about it is perfect. I love it. So,
yeah.
What do you think, Drew?
I think I'm kind of in both of your boats. And I think what Apple did with the Series 5 was establish even more dominance than they already had, which is kind of brutal at this point. It's kind of like there's this.
Don't frail, kick him old, while he's down, Apple.
Wounded soldier, like, grabbing at the dirt to get by and trying to escape, and he's already waved his white flag, and then Apple just showed up with the Series 5 to stomp on his head as he's already, like, lost both his limbs. This is very graphic, I'm sorry.
basically, what they did was... Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, I was loving it.
they catered towards people who haven't bought watches yet, because that was a very large... criticism that people always brought up with the Series 5, which is why I respect it. Like, what it isn't, though, is a great reason to upgrade if you already have an Apple Watch, particularly a Series 4. It's, like, basically pointless, other than you have lots of money, you can afford to flex the new finish, the new ceramic or something. Aside from that, or if you already have, like, or if you don't have a 4 yet, maybe I could see people wanting to upgrade because it's the same price as the 4. So it's like, yeah, I'm due for an upgrade. Why buy the 4 when the 5 just came out? It's the same price. I'll get the 5. But what they did was they gave all of the remaining Apple Watch criticizers one less huge reason to not get it, because that was, amongst the people who didn't like the Apple Watch, a very common complaint that I saw on Discord and on YouTube comments all the time, is they're just like, well, it's cool, but it doesn't have an always-on display. That was, like, always at the forefront of criticism.
iOS is cool, but doesn't have dark mode.
right, exactly.
It gives iPhone 10 is cool, but it doesn't have a wide, ultra wide angle. Like, look at what Apple's doing this year. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of this community.
they're smushing all remaining criticism this year. They are. What they did with the Series 5 was like,
Johnny should have left a long time ago if this is how they're behaving.
This is all Johnny's fault. Yes. No, but the Series 5 was basically like, now what you gonna do?
Yeah.
What can you honestly complain about now? Like, other than the price, and, I don't know, you want the battery to last 7 days or something.
Notice how the Series 4 and 5 is perfectly square, yet also perfectly round at the exact same time. Say something, critics. Mm. Say something. You can't.
Right. Exactly.
Don't at me.
I'm reviewing the Series 5. I did order one, but I'm not keeping it.
Which one did you get?
I ordered the titanium in regular, not the black
titanium.
Titanium!
Nice.
Yes.
You can flex your watch.
Randy, I have a special
card.
Surprise for you when I get the Series 5. Will probably be a Twitter video exclusive, but
I love it.
I'll work on that when I get it. But the pre-orders were way earlier than I thought. You could pre-order a Series 5 right after the keynote ended, which was kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that is kind of small, but I think should be worth mentioning, is that they're finally allowing you to order the exact band you want.
Yes.
With the Series 5, which I thought was great. Like, the Series 4 was hinting at it. Like, when we
got the box.
First got our Series 4 boxes, we noticed that the watch band was boxed separately. And the regular watch was just in its own pod. It didn't have the watch bands attached already. And I was like, oh. So with this type of packaging method, you could swap out any kind of band, and now they allow that. They also lowered the price of the Milanese and Leather Loops, which I thought was a good move, because...
Yeah.
All the watch bands are kind of pricey, so
yeah.
The fact that those got cheaper is good.
Speaking about the leather,
but
loop,
it's also
I'm
so
pause,
great
I'm
that
gonna,
they keep.
I'm, stop. This
Go
is
ahead,
this
Nick.
Is something I have been holding in for a week. The black leather loop came back, and I'm so happy. So I got this black leather loop. Like, ever since the original Apple Watch unveiling, like, they have the demo video with the black leather loop, and that's the band I've loved the most. I have worn it every day for a year, 2 years, something like that. But mine is falling apart. Like, the leather's peeling, and, like, it's looking ugly. And so I've been trying to figure out, like, all summer, some of the other people that I know can, like, attest to this. Like, I've been like, DMing Apple and, like, because they sell the black leather loop on right. the Philippine store, the Philippine online store. But
oh, I
they
could have got
don't,
it for you.
I know. I didn't think about that until after you were there. It's like, dang it. Shoot. But anyway, so I've been trying to figure out a way because I know they have inventory of it somewhere. But like, no, they couldn't sell it to me because I'm not in the Philippines, obviously. And I wasn't about to go fly to the Philippines. But I was getting close, actually, because I love this band so much.
Don't do that.
But
not for a leather loop. Please don't.
So now it's back, and I'm so excited. I've ordered two of them.
Oh my god!
One for using, and one for just sticking in a drawer, just in case they discontinue it again next month.
Oh my god! I feel like you are the one human being on earth that did this.
Dude, when they showed like a collection of like watch combinations on the screen, and I saw the black leather loop. Like, I stood up, I jumped around my room like a complete idiot.
I'm sure like, you did.
They brought it back! No more stupid blue or tan or green! Nick,
you can see, back. Like, the people below his floor looking up at the ceiling. Like,
it's moving. Guess the iPhone came out. Nope, just a band.
The Apple sales department saw a spike in... two purchases of the leather loop, and they said, I guess that's enough to keep it around, and yep. Nick single-handedly yes. is keeping that's
what
iteration
was.
Alive.
I feel like, Nick, your Twitter bio should say, single three leather loop owner. Like, no one on earth has that achievement.
Oh, my goodness.
Three-time leather loop owner.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's like
single,
bro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good on them for letting us customize it, though. I do like that, and I that's amazing. But even more awesome, them cutting the prices.
Totally, that's why, like, I bought two of them.
I paid. I have every single watch band loop I could got since the first one, Series Zero, and the fact that that's still the design factor. Like, now they can't even say it's like they're just trying to make money off the like it's
they
the could have
changed the watch band so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have,
they
did
could
it.
Have, but they didn't. Yeah, I'm it's so glad awesome. That they all still work.
Yes,
and I also want to mention no one on earth noticed this, but I did. While the Series 4 from the Series 3 price went up. Remember when the Series 4 first came out, it was a little bit more expensive, and everyone said, that's fine. But the ceramic Apple Watch, from what I can recall, is the same price of the Series 3 ceramic, which I was not expecting, because I figured, oh, this one has an ECG, it has the bigger display, it has all the Series 4 features, so the ceramic edition is going to be more expensive than the Series 3 ceramic. And from what I can tell, it's the same price.
They're probably just okay with, you know, a 96% profit margin instead of a 97% profit margin.
Yeah, something like that.
Apple's all about compromises here.
Ooh.
Right. What they stopped doing, sadly, which kind of bums me out, is the old Apple Watch editions would come with the Lightning Apple Watch charge plate that flips up.
Yep.
They don't do that anymore for the ceramic or the titanium. But now they do include an extra watch band.
Oh, that's nice.
Which I don't think they did before.
You can pick out?
I think it's one band you pick out and the other one is going to be a default like sport band.
Okay.
So they're just saying, we throw that in there so you'll actually get two bands. So I'm actually supposed to get two bands with my titanium. I'm not going to touch any of them. I'm going to use a band I already have because I'm returning it. So I want to make it real simple. But did the titanium finish interest you guys at all, or were you just like, eh?
No, I think it's it will go perfectly with my soon-to-be titanium card. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I it will be a perfect addition to my collection. But I think... No, it is very interesting, and I hope they stick around. I'm glad you like that.
I'm just thinking of General Grievous with watch bands under his
shirt. Instead of lightsabers, General Kenobi. We make a fine edition. Yeah.
A fine edition. There you go.
That was good joke.
Bravo. Man. Hello there.
when you see the ceramic come back, hello there.
Hello there. I will do with this myself. That's Nick with the watch pants. With the leather. He buys them all.
buys a flight.
Oh my god. You're making me laugh like Palpatine.
Grievous.
Just Palpatine. And Sweeney has the four leather loops.
On each arm.
Oh my god. Welcome to the Two Loaves of Star Wars podcast.
I'm crying. I'm crying. Oh, I'm thinking about it.
My face is so red.
So and Sweeney, henceforth, you shall be known as Darth.
Okay. All right, we got to stop.
All right, back on track.
I'm dying here.
So to be honest with you, I completely forgot what I was saying. So
Series 5, please give me sleep tracking and a new health sensor, and then I'll consider
it. Compass didn't sell you on it, huh?
No. You know, I have not been walking around in the woods and been like, I wonder what direction is north.
Yeah. Anyone who has a GPS with a built-in compass, let us know.
Like, I could literally use my phone.
If anything, the compass is what turned me off.
The compass was like, oh.
Compass?
I don't want that.
I can
tell you what direction north is just by the sun,
right? The moss on the trees, and yeah, I'm a Boy Scout. Gosh,
yeah, all right.
No,
okay,
I'm not. Please
sure.
Don't sue me.
More power.
All
to
the
you.
Boy Scouts are getting their Series 5.
Do you see that ad where like the troop leader was like trying to find the direction, and then like he looked at his watch, and I'm just like, that is so not what would happen. Like,
that's not how a compass works.
Yeah,
so that's just
the compass. Like adding that, most of the people in the crowd, I think, were like, was there not a compass?
Right?
Why didn't it have a compass?
Wait, then what's GPS? Isn't GPS just the modern day compass?
GPS uses like satellites to tell you exactly where you are on the planet.
Exactly my point.
Why.
Modern day compass.
Compass tells
you
what direction
you're
pointing.
North.
Yes.
I don't know.
All you'd have to do.
Someone on Twitter.
All you'd have to do with the GPS
on Twitter
is
got
find
mad.
2 points. Literally walk 20 feet, and then you could figure out what direction you're pointing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter was like, "Hey Drew, I need a compass." Or they had some excuse. You can tweet us at us again. But I read the tweet and laughed because they were still not bringing up the fact that there's a GPS in it. So I was just like, okay.
Drew, I need a compass. Where I go, there is no roads.
you're driving on the freeway basing off of a compass, like where you
not
are.
Not using maps.
He's taking wind, you have, like, wind latitude, longitude.
You have an atlas with a sticky note, and you have your compass on your wrist.
He's plotting
Does
points.
Does the Tesla have a compass?
Yes. And actually, okay. if you hit the button.
Almost lost me. I was going to skip and just go with the Taycan, but since the Model 3.
I think every single map, GPS or equivalent, comes with a compass, because Apple Maps comes with it. Tesla, on the top right corner, has a compass that you can, you know. Compasses are.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet.
Got it.
So iPads, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That 10.2 inch.
Dude, that,
no, now
that reveal
the main attraction.
Was so
not getting
cringy.
It.
That reveal was so cringy. What's his face? I don't
Which
even remember
one?
Who it was. What CEO or what executive was.
A lot of cringy reveals.
But it was just like, and this is the new iPad Pro. And it literally like... The way they unveiled it, just like folding out the smart keyboard.
Not even the Pro, just
the
iPad.
The iPad. I'm sorry. Yeah, not Pro.
Yeah.
But it literally just looked like an old iPad Pro. Like, he was like, and this is the new iPad. And
everyone's like,
Is
that new?
Is that new? I don't
it looked
know.
Exactly the
kinda
same.
Like
Did they shrink the bezels?
Very confused.
I don't know what changed.
The bezels. The bezels, it's just a 10.2 inch now. It's the same footprint as the iPad Air, which means that the smart connector from the new iPad Air works with this iPad now. And it wasn't even a CPU upgrade, which surprised a lot of people.
But you can use iPad OS with this, because that's super exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, you could use the iPad OS with the last iPad,
right?
Whatever. Now it has a smart connector. So when you're buying your $300 iPad, you can also buy a $160 keyboard with it. Cool.
Oh. Ouch.
I don't like products like that. Like, I didn't like the last budget iPad because the selling point was you can use a $100 Apple Pencil with a $300 tablet. And I was like, do those markets overlap much? Or?
Let the record show that Aunt Sweeney bought the the iPad. that one you're talking about. He was so excited.
I am
and
quiet.
I'm not done. And then he immediately returned it because he was not happy.
Which one did I return? No, I kept the fifth gen or whatever the first cheap iPad that supported Apple Pencil.
You bought the one that now supports Apple Pencil. That was the student only keynote that they had.
I bought that one.
That's the one.
And I kept that for like months.
Oh.
No, I didn't buy that. No, my school gave it to me. Yeah.
Months of dedication.
I had that for like a whole semester and a half until the new iPad Pro came out.
Can we talk about the iPhones?
No.
Please.
We need to talk about one more thing, okay? I think this is a good time mm-hmm. for me to... Sorry, Drew. to filibuster for 10 minutes, and then we can talk about iPhones.
I've been waiting on this for so long.
I'm about to cry.
So the record's clear. Let's start out with the pros. I'm going to throw out the keynote schedule for a second. Which configurations did you guys get, starting with Nick?
I bought insert name of iPhone, which I refuse to agree with.
Just say the last two gigabytes. Suffixes.
PM, not Prime Minister. Okay. iPhone 11 Pro Max, 64 gigabytes, gold. Ugh. Unlocked.
Wow, he went with 64.
Yep, I watched
your
video.
That's a big monument for Nick.
Yep. Now we'll talk about the storage capacity. No, I pre-ordered it.
In what color?
Gold. It was a throw-up toss-up, and this will be part of the conversation.
Then this is good news, Randy. What did you get?
I didn't.
What?
I have not bought it yet.
Randy,
wait. Okay.
What?
I can explain. I can explain.
You are banished from this podcast. You are banished. You are a young man. Banished.
Okay, well, good luck having this show with the music, jerk. Now the intro is going to be really weird when they hear this. I didn't. Nick, what accent was that? I don't even know.
I was trying to do
man.
The PC, the hi, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ad, and the PC guy goes, you're banished.
You're banished.
But
okay.
A really poor British accent.
That was terrible. Okay, so you're lucky Benji's gone right now. He would slap you.
Ooh, he would.
So, I did not get it for two reasons. The first one is I was completely, utterly on travel
broke.
On Friday. No. Oh, God, no. Sorry. I don't mean it like that, but I was on travel. And I could have set the alarm, but two... I am going to buy the phone. That's going to be my very first Apple Card purchase when I get it. And the only reason why I haven't got it yet is because I'm waiting for the credit bureaus to update with my actual number of what is on my balance for my other credit cards, which is zero. And until then, I don't want a high interest, low credit limit Apple Card. I'm going to apply for it because when I did the prequal, I didn't like the number. I was like, this is not representative of what my actual scope is for me personally. So it's actually a financial move that I decided to wait because I really need the bureaus to update their system. And once they do, then I'm actually going to buy it. I already... got everything like ready to go. They already validated my ID. Everything. I just had to hit accept. But then they're going to do another soft pull and run my thing again and see what's my credit utilization at. And right now, I wanted to reflect the actual cost, which is 0%. So that's why I decided to wait because I do want to put it on the Apple Card and I want it to be my first purchase. And because of that. When I looked at it, pre-orders as of yesterday were to mid-October, so I'm like, all right, well, I guess I got time to kill, which is fine. Because I'm stuck. I'm torn, and I need your guys' help with something. Yeah. I haven't decided between Pro Max. I'm really torn, and I'll tell you why. Here's a very, very quick lowdown on the whole thing. I've only had two Plus models of the iPhone, and that was 6 Plus when it first came out, and then 7 Plus because of the dual camera. Afterwards, I've always went back to the smaller configuration because it just fits comfortably in my hand. It never the bigger size I never liked. But with that being said, the 3 camera lens thing has changed it all for me, and I look at it more as a monitor for when I'm using video and then when I'm editing and stuff like that. There's more benefits that would come with the longer battery for me, as well as the the more clarity on the display. But with that being said, my fundamental issue has not changed for me, and my size, the regular size, the 5.8, is it? Is perfect. I love the size, but I do acknowledge the fact that back then, last year's model now, the 10R had the best battery, and I thought that was the best size. Knowing that the best battery now is the biggest configuration in mass that you can get, I do take seriously, even though it's just 1 hour difference between that one and the regular 7 Pro. So I'm kind of torn between that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, but before we get into that, let me just address. I'm pretty confident you are going with midnight green, right?
No, he's going with purple. He's getting the 11 in purple.
Of course, I'm getting midnight green. 64 gigs.
Because I was immediately, you popped in my head as soon as they did the Pro unveiling, because I was just like, that is Randy's color. That is Randy's watch band.
I'm wearing the watch band right now.
Tesla. Tim Cook drove by your house, saw your Tesla, and was like, wow, that would make a really good iPhone color. Yeah.
So I just want to know what the thought process is, because there was no leaks confirming there would be like
an
army green like that. And as soon as it dropped, what was your reaction?
I had an Aunt Sweeney moment. I sat right here, watched on the Apple TV right there, and I was like, and I lost it. I can't always do that well, but I'm glad I was able to do that. So I just
It must be fun to have like the exact
color.
The exact color you could have ever wanted. Because I've never had that.
That is the exact color. And so everyone's like, oh, it looks kind of... And people love it or they hate it. And I'm seeing more people...
sold out faster than anything.
That's crazy, because if I was to just read based off of everything I read on YouTube in the comments or on Twitter, I would have swore that people like, oh, that thing's disgusting. It looks like vomit green, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, suckers, more for me. But I would have bought two of that. Nick, take that one.
Ooh.
I love it. The fact that they did it, like, this is... I hope that stays around forever, because that will forever be my color. More so than I was like before they did that. I was like, oh, it looks like I'm going to get a product red iPhone 11 so I can kind of tinker with and, you know, just because I honestly thought about buying one out of principle for the fact that I love that it's so cheap and I miss the footprint of the 6.1. Right. That is my favorite size.
Just because it's such a great price for what you get out of it.
So initially I was going to trade in the 10s for the 11, and I was going to get product red, and then I saw midnight green. I was like, you know what, no, I don't need all these phones. What am I, Talos of Tech? And so then I'm just Talos of Tech podcast. So I was like, all right, P for poor. And I decided to just scrap that. Wife's gonna get the 11 because she loves her phone, and I'm gonna get midnight green. And when I saw that, everybody at, you know, in my immediate circle was texting me live time saying, hey, did you see it? I'm like, what do you think? Of course I saw it. And so, yeah, it's only fitting that
Randy's
it's
over here offended.
Do you think I didn't see it? Gosh, what?
Yeah. You think I wouldn't watch that?
Yeah. It's so beautiful. Well, I was
happy for you, because, and I didn't even have to read any of your tweets, and I didn't even have to text you as soon as the unveiling happened. I was live on Twitch with over 1,000 people watching, and I just said, that's Randy's phone.
Yep.
That's for Randy. Yep, right there. That is his phone. But yeah, I was happy they catered your direction.
I love it. It's
and
beautiful.
The main point I was trying to get at was I pre-ordered silver, which means all three of us are once again going to have different colors from each
mine.
Other.
So that's the thing.
Well, yes, you have. You got gold, Nick.
No.
You got gold.
No. Okay, so yes, I did. Still doing iPhone heist. This is been a bit more of a challenge. Things didn't work out as I expected, but I am making it work.
Oh, so we were right.
No, you're not. It's still going to work.
I think that one more thing, it karma, is coming back at you.
Tell him, Drew.
Get him. Just you wait. I'm going to have an iPhone free and clear that I own because of my MR points. Okay?
No.
It's going to work. It's just going to take a little bit of extra work.
Yeah, I bet. Is this something you can say live, or is this something you have to say off air?
No. So I went ahead.
Do we want to wait? Okay, go ahead.
No. So yeah, it's fine. If anyone from Amex is listening, I'm sure they're just going to smile and laugh at my misogynistic plan.
Put us in your commercial too.
Yes.
Amex.
So I had a bunch of MR points. I was hoping to redeem. So the way that you redeem the points for the Apple product is on American Express's website, but they pull the information in. It's like a backside of the Apple store. So it's like before the Apple event, things were going out of stock, like the right. Amex site was showing things out of stock. So I'm like, these things are tied pretty close together. I should be good. Unfortunately, my original hope was to order a 10S and then return that and swap it out for a 11, you know, on launch day. But unfortunately, after the event, Apple removed the 10S Max. And so because of that, it got removed on Amex's site. And so I was like, okay, bummer. This sucks.
Randy's like,
cackling over there. Emperor Palpatine.
You will not stop me.
So anyway, I ordered an iPad Pro, and I'm going to return it and then use that to get my iPhone. But I have pre-ordered a gold 64 gig iPhone. But on launch day, so this week, if any of y'all are in Dallas, Texas, and that's where I am right now, and you're anywhere near the Apple store, I may or may not be lining up early in the morning to see if I can get my paws on a silver iPhone.
You're going
to
get shot.
You're
going to
get
now.
Shot. This is going to be so sad if it happens.
Here we are laughing at his doom. The fact that you and I both said the exact same thing.
To. So, you know, maybe that's...
Oh, goody.
Maybe that's not true either, but, you know... If I end up dead, you'll know who to blame.
Plot twist. Nick is in the other room. He's at my place.
Plot twist. Yes. So, okay. Now we're all caught up on the pricing and everything.
Wait, you didn't answer my question.
What was your question?
Should I get the Pro or the Pro Max?
Oh. Well, we should... I say you should get the Pro.
I say split the difference and get the 11.
That's not how that works.
Nick, you talk to me once your heist goes through. Right now, I'm doubting everything you're saying.
I've just opened, while you brought that up, I opened the iPhone comparison page.
Yeah.
And the 11 Pro does have a slightly longer battery than the 10R, which you previously used and said it has a great battery. So
yes,
I think the 11 Pro is a happy medium because you like that form factor. The battery life is a little bit better than the 10R, which you enjoyed the battery life of, so... I say that's best case scenario. The Max, you get a even longer battery life, I guess, but
of an hour.
I think if you're happy with the 10R battery, then you'll be
happy
with the Pro, and you'll save
$100.
Only
difference, right? That's the only difference is the 1 hour battery, right? Between the two, from what I gathered,
it's a 5 hour. Hang up. It's a 5 hour increase from the 10S Max.
Yeah.
So comparing the 11 Pro to the 11 Pro Max, the video playback is actually 2 hours longer. Video streaming is an hour longer, and the audio playback is 15 hours longer on the Pro Max compared to the 11 Pro. But these are, of course, Apple's numbers. They're subject to change and all that.
Of course.
But, I would say, just for the sake of diversity in the podcast, you should get the 5.8-inch model, so there's still one of us out there. Or you could upgrade the storage for a nearly same price or something if you care about that kind of thing. So,
no, because the video you talked about with iCloud storage is like, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because it's like
no one was talking about it, and everyone kept asking me why I ordered the 64 gig model, and I was like, guys, it's not that complicated. I don't have to manage anything. The storage isn't something I have to think about. As long as you have a decent internet and cellular, the iCloud is actually cheaper and it benefits you more gig for your dollar.
Right.
It benefits all your devices. So I was like, you know what? I should make a video on that. And then it just... Everyone was angry immediately. much frustration.
Because they don't understand, but what you're saying is 100%... Like, it's just facts. Right now... when I got the 10S, I got the 256 because I thought I was going to run out of storage or anything like that. I just sent you guys a screenshot. Out of the 256 I used, I only used 35 gigs, and I record nothing but 4K.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that would have been majority of my stuff, but all that gets pushed to iCloud. So all that to say that 64 gigs is more than enough. Even if I think I'm going to go, you know, crazy hard on the cameras now, the iCloud storage that I use, I use the 200 gigabyte for the $5 or $3, whatever that I pay, and I'm not capped out yet. So I'm so glad you made that video, Drew. And even if it blew up for the wrong reasons, people are mad. They're being emotional.
I think people miss the point, because everyone's response was basically, it should be 128 gig because it's pro and it's $1,000. And I don't think anyone was understanding. I wasn't saying they shouldn't make a 128 gig option.
Right.
My argument was, yeah, sure, it'd be nice if they made a 128 gig, but with all the features they're adding and the import tariffs that are coming into effect, honestly, it's a miracle the prices didn't go up.
Exactly.
Right?
Given they added a lens, they added all this battery life, they improved the CPU, they improved the displays, they improved the water resistance without increasing the price. Most people's argument is that, well, it shouldn't be that high in the first place. You know, but I get that.
As soon as he said pro, I was just like, oh, this is going up another $300.
Right. I mean, doesn't usually when they add pro, that mean the price go up? So the fact that when the prices came up and they didn't change, I was like, honestly, that's impressive, because back when the iPhone 7 came out, the regular 7 was the same price as the 6S, and the 7 Plus, with its extra lens and its portrait mode, got a price increase. Mm-hmm. It wasn't much, but it did get more expensive than the 6S Plus. So the fact that they added the ultra-wide and all these Face ID improvements as well, they added all these other things and the Dolby Atmos speakers and all of that added, I was like, there's no way they can keep the prices the same, and they did. So I was trying to keep all that in mind, with the fact that, oh, it starts at 64 gig, that's fine. I don't even use half that. There's people out there that are like, you know, it should be 128 because it's a pro and it's expensive, and this Android phone has 128 gig, but I'm just saying. I actually did a Twitter poll because I was curious, which I understand is not like a super accurate way of measuring things.
Scientific.
It's like a rough estimate.
It's scientific.
It's not very scientific, but I ran a Twitter poll.
And Twitter poll said that it was scientific, so...
Yeah. I asked everyone, how much storage do you use on your current phone? Not how much storage does your phone have, but how much have you used? And at the time of recording this, we have 1,876 votes. 52% said 64 gigs or less. That's over half. Now, I understand there's problems with that poll, because partly people say, like, well, I have 64 gig, but if it was 128, I would use more, because I wouldn't have to delete as much.
Yeah.
But I'd also like to mention that I have a very tech-oriented audience.
True.
As in, the people following me on Twitter are much more techie people than the average consumer. So if this was to be an average consumer poll, I bet it would be even higher than 52% of people, because they just want the new phone and they want the cheapest version. They don't care how many gigs are in it or whatever. They're just like, eh, I'll get the 64 gig. That's fine. I also don't agree with the argument of people saying that 64 gigs is basically what 16 gigs was back when that was the standard. That's a stupid argument, okay? First of all, because the iPhone 6S was the last iPhone that shipped with 16 gigs by standard.
Yeah.
The iPhone 6S, it was not like data was a fourth the size of it is now. That's a very flawed argument. The 6S... Nick, you shut up. Listen. The 6S... The iPhone 6S could record 4K at 30 video.
Yes.
Okay, video is higher storage than pictures. Okay, we can put pictures aside. They could shoot 4K at 30 video. Now we have 4K at 60, which is a little bit more. But the storage default has increased by 4, and the iCloud storage has gotten significantly cheaper than it was back when the 6S was around. You could not get 2 terabytes for $10 back in 2015. So in a span of 4 years... the default storage option has quadrupled. I don't think the average size of files, especially with the high-efficiency codec Apple's been switching to with their pictures, and the fact that we don't have 8K video at 30. We still have 4K. It's just at a slightly higher... It's at a higher frame rate, not slightly, but still. I get that we use higher data than we did in the past, and I get that it would be very, very nice if they implemented 128 gig. However, I still believe that more people would be annoyed by a price increase, especially given we know even my tech-oriented audience uses mostly 64 gigs or less. Apple's aware of that. And if they included 128 gig, that may have come with a price increase, which most people would have been far more upset with than the 64 gig standard.
Okay, so that's I agree with you there. Yeah, that's fine.
Say something, Nick.
My thing, though, I did end up getting 64 gigs, mostly because I have a 64 gigabyte iPad, and I had a 512 gigabyte iPhone. Since I was replacing my phone so frequently and wiping it and resetting it up, I never, like, I think the last time I filled it all the way up, my 512 gigabyte iPhone, was when we did the data hoarder video. Since then, I've only been using, like, you know, maybe 90 gigabytes at most, you know, download a bunch of movies, just because I haven't been on Wi-Fi enough to, you know, sit down and download, you know, half a terabyte worth of stuff. But my iPad is always connected to the internet, LTE, 64 gigabytes, and it does a really good job with managing, you know, what files are downloaded and just always available in the Files app. You know, I've never once gotten that alert, which is kind of why I was like, okay, I think I can, and looking at my phone, like, I was like, okay, well, I'm using 60 gigabytes on my phone right now. I can probably, you know, pare down. I don't need 9 gigabytes of podcasts downloaded offline. You know, I could pare down a little. So I did end up going to 64 gigabytes, but here's my concern, which is why I was giving the on the 6S. Because I am hoping to keep this phone, I'm not planning on selling it next year. It's going to be my new drawer phone because I am sick and tired of using this 6 Plus as my between phone, between, you know, devices. This 6 Plus is all but unusable as I record my audio on it, so knock on some wood. I'm really looking forward to having this phone just be my drawer phone. And I don't want to be in a position in 5 years when 64 gigabytes is like 16 gigabytes now. But I don't think that will happen just because of cloud storage.
I agree. 4 years from now, it'd probably be a different story.
Yeah.
But now, I think 64 is fine.
4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, but Nick, question. I got a question for you. If you will treat this next phone as your in-between phone in the future.
I was going to ask this as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, so in between all that, with, you know how I maybe you don't, because I didn't know it was doing this until I did research on my own, even on the local device when you record video, after a certain time it will just take it off the local device and push it to the cloud
if you're connected to Wi-Fi.
Is 2019,
I don't
Sweeney.
Have Wi-Fi at my house.
That's why it's called misery
all the time. I'm the person who used a terabyte and a half on my iPhone last year of cellular data.
I guess the point I'm trying to make, though, is that the fact that, like, I record so much in max capacity, and this is with Netflix videos downloaded and everything at the highest res I can get, only 30 gigs, and I'm saying only, and I mean that, only 30 for you, sir. If it's an in-between phone, you're not going to push all your daily, and I know you like to hold on to your apps and you don't want to remove it, and that's fine. But as an in-between phone, the purpose of the in-between phone is to what? iMessage, get on YouTube, Twitter, email,
exactly.
Whatever, all the local stuff that's already in the cloud.
And that's why I settled with 64. I had a 512 gigabyte iPhone in my cart. I'd gone all the way through the process. It was just the last button to, you know, finalize the checkout, and I was like.
You're like Walter Mitty hanging on that.
Yeah, no, I did that, and I was like, it's not worth $500, you know, the price jump to do this. And like,
can someone please edit the beginning of that movie to be an iPhone pre-order page? And he's like, he gets out of his chair and sits back down again. I don't know. Sorry, off topic.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So yeah, I'm doing 64. I think we're all on the same page there. I totally agree with you. When I saw your video, I was just like, okay, I'm glad I got 64. Like, I'm glad that I had that thought process and didn't waste extra money. But
I tell this,
if they had a 128 option, I definitely, even if it was another $100 and not $100, you know, if it was, you know, a bit more money, I probably would have gotten a 128, but I don't think I needed 256, and 64 is enough. So
yeah, I tell people this all the time, in work, in my personal life, and all in between, that we are all of us as an industry, as a society, when it comes to tech, mobile consumer tech, we are moving to the cloud. It is it's happening as we speak. You have AWS as one of the biggest servers. You have virtually everything, even on the Apple ecosystem side that so much of it is pushed to the cloud that one thing I never even I thought about, Drew, even though I guess because I don't pay for the 2 terabyte one, when you broke the numbers down that way where it's like you are paying less annually if you want to look at it as an annual fee for the phone, and you're getting over four times the amount of of storage.
Just dollar per gig,
That you would have, dollar per gig that you would have anywhere accessible. And if people's like, well, you need to get it right there on the spot, it's like we're talking about extremes, and you can always find a counter of an opposite extreme. But in real practical use, when I realized that my videos were being taken off my phone and just backed up to the iCloud server, I was like, oh, okay, so that's why I was like, I'm at least 80 gigs, and I looked before in the past and it was 50. Like, wait, what's going on? Mm-hmm. That can't be right. Because just like you were saying, they're unedited videos, 20, 30, sometimes 45 minutes long of just raw footage that's not compressed. And Apple handles it like a beast. And so I think even future-proofing it on a family plan, I think I am going to get the 2 terabyte now, just because when I look at the cost as a whole, when I do annual budgets and stuff like that, it makes more sense, because I used to do the whole... Like, Nick, your logic makes sense, and I understand. And even more so if you don't have Wi-Fi, I understand why you want to have a higher storage configuration. And you are, by all means, anything but the ordinary consumer when it comes to stuff.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it.
Another good Twitter bio.
So
anything but the ordinary consumer. You're
anything but that. But that's okay. I mean, listen, Drew, Nick and I, we spent 8 hours at a mall waiting for his turn at an Apple store. This dude's committed. So I get it. So I think even for your situation, though, there's always going to be advancements when it comes to, like, cloud is the future, and we're in the future now with it. And even if they're doing it behind the scenes and everything right there, I like the idea of just maxing out the iCloud storage configuration, because it's getting cheaper over a year. Because you're right. I didn't even think about that. Right. It didn't used to cost $10. When you said it was $10, I looked. I was like, is it?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. Every time I bring it up, when people are like, well, you get 64. And I'm like, because it's cheaper to get the $10 a month 2 terabyte thing. It's cheaper than Netflix. And it saves you 100. In my case, it saves me $150 a year. Because I don't have to buy those upgraded storage options. Back in the old days, I used to get the maxed out storage options because the iCloud storage, it wasn't really a thing. It wasn't as good pricing, so it wasn't worth it to me. And I didn't have Wi-Fi, so it wasn't something easy to back up to. Once I got Wi-Fi, I was like, that would be stupid to buy the maxed out storage.
Yeah.
Sorry. Why would I do that?
And that's kind of what scares me about getting the 64 gig phone. Like, I got it and I'm going to do it, but I'm kind of still worried, because the only reason why this 6 Plus that I've been using is not unusable is because it's 128. And, like, the system isn't trying to... My grandpa has a 6 Plus, exact same everything, Verizon, you know, everything, except it's 16 gigabytes. And he says it's unusable. Like, this is a person who's... you know, has patience for technology, unlike myself. And the phone's just trying to fit everything. You know, the OS is, you know, 10 gigabytes or whatever, and it's just trying to fit everything into, you know, just the small space. And I think that's one of the reasons why this 6 Plus is, you know, slightly usable, is because it's 128. And I'm a little worried, you know, in 4 years, 5 years, when I go to pull my iPhone 11 Pro Max out of the drawer, and 64 gigabytes, it might have a little bit of a problem. But at that point, I'm hoping I'll either be a millionaire by that time, and then, you know, I don't have to worry about that.
Problem solved.
There you go. Michael Scott, tots for Scotts.
So I want to bring up one negative I had about the iPhone that I was really hoping was not just a rumor and it was going to happen. I wanted the 90 hertz refresh rate.
Mm. Ooh.
So bad.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I agree. Although... I'm more just impressed by the price staying the same, that I'm okay that didn't make it.
100%, yes.
I think that while that's cool to see in other phones, as I've used the 7 Pro and I'm a refresh rate junkie, I completely understand Apple's ideology of that not being something most people probably care about. Even the pros, even in the pro market, I think the main reason they did high refresh rate on the iPad was for the Apple Pencil latency. And since you don't have that on the phone, it's kind of
It would have made more sense if we did get an Apple Pencil support for the iPhone.
Which I don't want. That's stupid.
Who wants that?
I do kind of want that. I almost wanted it today again.
I'm calling Steve Jobs right now.
Dude, hear me out. Okay, that's I'm sitting here drawing on my iPad, and and my iPhone's playing a YouTube video. And I'm holding the Apple Pencil, and I just want to, you know, swipe to get to the next YouTube video because the guy's doing an ad read at the end. And I used my Apple Pencil, and I swiped on the 6 Plus, and it obviously didn't work. But then I was like, I wish the 11 Pro was, you know, had just it.
Just for that?
It doesn't have to. Yeah. It doesn't have to even.
That's it.
It can be literally as little advertised as the U1 chip. Like, it doesn't have to be anything they talk about. She's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, if obviously it works with the Apple Pencil. Like, you know, Apple Pencil is Apple. It works with the watch. And, you know, it's just.
So you'd want the first generation pencil back?
No. So all
the
it would
second
do,
gen?
No.
How does it pair with it?
It's just Apple. It'll work, right? Like, come on.
No, it would have to have the inductive thing that iPad Pro
it's
has.
It's Apple. If my AirPods can automatically know, you know, iCloud wise what my devices are, Apple
just
could
get
work
a random
it
generic stylus. It would do the same thing.
No, dude, I'm already holding the pencil. It's the convenience. It's not about me wanting to use the pencil with my phone. It's me. I'm already
it's
holding
a
pencil
reason
in my hand. And I want to just tap one thing with my phone. I don't want to draw on my phone. That's stupid. But fine.
Boy, you're sold on that, Nick.
Yes.
Even you have doubts in that.
I miss 3D Touch more, though.
Oh, yeah, that was sad. I'm beginning to think 3D Touch was way more expensive than we thought it was. Now
Yo,
that removing
for the
it,
price?
They've been able to add all this stuff. Maybe it was pretty expensive to implement.
Like, by all, more power to you. If long press is the substitute, but this is the trade off of all the perks that we get from it, I'm all about it. And another reason why I don't want to like sell the 10S, like, this is the last OLED phone.
That's right.
There's history with it. But you know what? The trade off, honestly, though, I think long press is so responsive because I try it on on the iPad. I try it, and it's so responsive.
Right, right.
Even in beta, I'm like, oh, this is okay. I thought it would be unbearable because of the early betas. Nope.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know, jumping ahead of the curve here on that one. So
I think iOS 13 made it way more doable without 3D Touch. With iOS 12, it was miserable when I turned off 3D Touch and tried it with that. But iOS 13 accelerated haptic touch, and then they changed a bunch of user interface features so that 3D Touch wasn't as necessary. So after using the beta for a while, I was like, okay. You know, I was really upset about 3D Touch.
So when
leaving,
is 3D or when is Force Touch going away? No, 3D Touch. Which one's the watch?
Force Touch.
That's Force Touch.
Yeah, when's
I
that
I don't
going
think they
away?
Can get rid of it on that. That would. How do you change watch faces now?
Yeah, they're
long
keeping
old.
That with a watch.
Long hold. The you same can, way. Long everything, yeah. can be, everything can be fixed with a long hold.
Really?
Now it
they
gets me thinking.
They don't
about
need
it.
To save a. They don't need to save a bunch of money with the Apple Watch. They're crushing it in the Apple Watch department. I think they're fine with Force Touch there.
They can afford to beef it up, especially when they what? Mm-hmm. I guess Series 6 will be the micro
LED.
LED, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what? Force Touch is not like 3D Touch. 3D Touch, you would tap, you'd Force Touch on items, like if you're on the Mail app on your watch, and you Force Touch on your iPhone, it would, you know, bring up a contextual basis on what you Force Touch or 3D touched. On the Apple Watch, when you Force Touch it, it's to the app. It's not to what you Force touched. You know, if you Force Touch,
it just gives you more
a message.
Options.
Yeah, it's like it feels like a layer above menu instead of like something you can interact with.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to keep it on that, but to each their own. Hopefully they don't remove it.
I still
the
haven't used 3D or Force Touch on my watch in like months.
Shame.
But, you know. Also,
are we forgetting
other
anything
thing.
About the keynote?
Yes. Real quick.
The iPhone 11.
I haven't had my watch paired for like a week and a half ever since I sold my 10S Max. I haven't had a watch. I've been wearing it, and obviously it's connected.
Well,
to,
somebody's
like,
closing your rings because I'm getting notified.
Well, I know every time it connects to the every time my iPad creates a hotspot to give my watch, you know, some kind of internet connection. But the watch is on watchOS 6, and the iPhone doesn't go up that high. So It's like,
oh, I see.
I don't have a watch that gives me notifications on like missing people's text messages and stuff. So,
okay.
And that's what I'm most excited about, honestly. Go ahead. iPhone 11.
Yeah, I think as we're wrapping up here, the last thing we should talk about is the now default flagship, not the cheaper version, not the downgraded R or C lettering, just now the iPhone 11.
Potato.
So competitively priced at $699.
I was shocked.
What did you think of the colors and the ultra wide choice for the dual camera? Did you like it?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Because if I know there's a record, there's an episode out there early on when I came on, I said if I could choose between telephoto or ultra wide, I would have taken the ultra wide because I just feel like there's more data you can work with it. And to be fair, at the time, and I think I still do it now, I like the flexibility I could do with starting and stopping a pano shot at any point, and that's ultra wide. But having a default and knowing the software that you can adjust and post, I love that phone so much. And if it wasn't for how beautiful midnight green is, well, actually, no, that's not true because I like the idea of fast charging coming in the box as well. For
that's
the pros.
True. We didn't bring that up. True.
Yeah, that's a thing. There's but the pro, like my wife is going to love it. She's excited about it. She's a plain Jane about the color configuration. She doesn't want lilac, purple, or mint green. But I think she's going to get the green one because that is her favorite color, green. I like the color choices.
Both have different green shades. That's cool.
Yeah. But the product red, oh my goodness. Like, all I wanted was a iPhone 11 Pro product red. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly happy with midnight green. But I would still like product red because that would look great on stainless steel.
I would love red. I would have totally got a red or a jet black if that came out with the... I almost got the green. I was really close to it. But ultimately, I decided... I thought the silver looked classier, and the green was Randy's phone. I don't want to have Randy's phone. I want to have my phone. My phone's silver, so I'm going silver. But yeah, I thought Apple has made like an incredibly solid upgrade for so many people that are on the 6s and the 6s out there that are looking for an upgrade between the ultra-wide software upgrades they made to the camera app were way more substantial than I thought they were going to be. Like, how they use both cameras simultaneously. Like, I love that design choice because most cameras out there, like the S10 was just like switch between the three lenses or whatever. But iPhones was like, no, they're going to be used in conjunction and they're going to line up perfectly so that your regular lens is the default. But where there's normally just black off pixels, now we have that slight tease at the ultra wide. So you're still getting the full resolution. It's not like they're just stretching the regular lens to fill up the whole screen, which is like what a lot of phones do. But that really clever, like lining everything up so that you know you can zoom out, and also after you take the photo, you can even uncrop and stuff like that. I was just like,
that's amazing.
So clever. That was so smart the way they handled it. And I knew it from the get-go. As soon as we saw those triple lens setups, at first they looked really ugly, and over time they started looking better.
They still look like a face!
Hi, Nick.
We apologize to everyone at your hotel. The equal distant lenses, I was like, they're going to do something with that. There's a reason they made them so close together, and it's because they want all of them to work in conjunction. So
I have a question.
Even with
for
the dual
guys,
camera.
Do you think iPhone 11, that commercial promo that they did with the car out in the desert, do you think there was any additional lenses that were added to it? Or do you think that was straight?
Yeah.
I think that was straight off.
No. I think there was some gimbals and some filters they probably used.
Okay. Well, some of them were like even handheld. So my real question is, is this good enough for not having a bokeh video effect the same way you do with portrait?
Yeah, a lot of people asked about that. My thought on it was video bokeh, if Apple didn't implement it, it's probably because they believe it's not ready yet. Either the CPU can't really get a good mask, or other things I thought about are bokeh, especially in pictures for portrait mode, is very finicky. You can't be too close and you can't be too far away. So it's cool that phones like the Note 10 have bokeh mode, but if you've seen real life videos of bokeh mode from the Note 10, it kind of gets it a little bit, but you kind of have to be in that sweet zone. So I understand why Apple maybe not feel like it's ready yet. Or maybe there's not an intuitive way to design it, because I could see the frustration, because Apple likes things being so simple and easy to understand in the camera app, sometimes to a fault. But I could imagine it being difficult to be like, okay, video portrait mode, you got to be here. Oh, no, too far. Now get closer. No, now you're too close. Now back up. So I could see why they felt like it wasn't simple and easy to integrate enough yet. Yeah, it'd be cool if they figured it out, and maybe the CPU could handle it, but I've heard some people say they want to wait till they have a time of flight sensor on the back. So
yeah,
maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Sure. No, I think if you can seamlessly transition, you know how, like, I know we've all experienced this on our phones. If you're recording as you're zooming in, and then you see the jump happen when it switches right there.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little, but it's enough. It's enough, and I'm glad it does it, because ultimately I want the clearest video for it. Yeah. But still, we notice it as the camera guy for it. But
right,
if what they're saying is like everything's seamless like that, if that is the case for all three lens, I will always take hardware over software. And we talked about that a little over a year ago. I'll take the hardware over the software. No need. Well, this is why I need for all three. Because because if the software is making it and everything's being done, that Filmic app that they showed, all three cameras or four cameras at once, I
that was cool.
am a believer. I want that so bad. It'll look good for podcasts, like if you did face-to-face pod. You can so creative with it. So I'm a believer with this triple lens. And
you're
the
a believer.
I'm a believer. And the fact that front-facing 4K 60.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was super happy about that. I can vlog 4K at 60 now and see myself.
It's perfect.
That's dope. I can't do that right now. Now I have to sacrifice the resolution. I'm sure the front-facing camera doesn't look as good as the rear, but still, at least it can hit that mark of 3840, 2160. Yeah. It's there that resolution. Go. So that's going to be super helpful for me.
I told you super guys great. This was all about cameras for me. If what was going to happen, and I've never been more of an Apple sheep in love with the product of what we see, because it strikes everything I need for what I need from a camera, and then they went and just teased me with the green. I'm like, done. I'm yours.
Done. Good year for Randy iPhones.
This is it. This is the year. Other people's like, I'm going to wait till the 2020 redesign. It's like, suckers. Yeah, fine. More inventory for me. Go.
You wait with your slow chargers.
That's right. That's true.
We got the 18 watts now.
Yeah, it was a good keynote.
Which I won't use.
I won't either, just because... No, but my wife, on the other hand, will.
Just because, no.
So I'm giving it to her. Well, because it's this one, right? I'm holding up the iPad.
It's the same one that comes with the iPad Pros.
Yeah, yeah. Which, so
honestly, that was something I was iffy about, because I was like, Apple has shipped a 5-watt brick since the OG iPhone.
Yep.
Would they really change it this year without a price jump? And they did, which surprised me. Like, no price increase and including the 18-watt charge brick.
Totally.
I don't even care that much about the 18 watts as much as I care about just there being a USB-C to Lightning cable. That's like the biggest thing, because I felt like that was a huge downfall to people buying, you know, $1,000 iPhones and they can't even plug them into their MacBooks. I was like, yeah, that's stupid. I agree. Even if Apple doesn't want to ship a fast charger, the fact that they need to buy an adapter for their own product, that's still kind of weird.
Yeah,
but why would you? 12
months
from that,
now,
though?
I think we'll get the price increase that with the tariffs and stuff like that. I think we will see the effects. I think this was more for them to cover as much ground as possible, and it's doing a great job. I think in 12 months, it's like, now that I got you guys, now honeymoon is over. No more free Apple TV Plus for a year. All that's gone. Welcome to the real Apple. And then they're going to get hit with $200
increases
across the
board. And there's new form factors next year to be rumored.
I know. Yeah.
You know those are going to be popular.
And it's probably not the same price as this year. I'd be surprised if they kept them the same price.
I was shocked I saw the Pro moniker and the same price. That still blows my mind every time I think about it.
I'm excited for the updated contrast ratio and the brightness being better too.
Yes. Oh, you like the?
I'm curious about that.
iPhone 10, the iPhone 11 Pro Max's Super Retina XDR display.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
Because it didn't come with a price jump, so it's all fine.
I'm still mad at Apple.
You need a $1,000 stand for it.
If it was an XDR display and it was $5,000, it'd be a different story.
Plus $1,000 stand.
Ooh. I'm just mad at the names. Like, can we talk about this? Like, Pro Max. Oh
yeah. I know. I kept seeing
Super
that
Retina
like, there's
XDR.
No way. Why did they have to do Max? Like, iPhone 11 made a little bit of sense because they at least it's not Roman numerals. And
thank you. It could have been worse.
Yeah, 11 was simpler and easier to understand than 10R because everyone said XR. So I was on board with 11. You know, I was like, okay, that's fine. But just call the OLED ones Pro. You don't need 11 or Pro or Max. Or, just keep the Pro. None of your other devices add a Max after Pro, even though there's more than one size. You don't have MacBook Pro Max. You don't have iPad Pro Max.
Just you wait till you October.
Oh, boy. Now they're going
to... Oh, no! That's no!
It'll be right underneath on... you know how the MacBook Pros say MacBook Pro right underneath the display? It's going to say MacBook Pro Max.
Pro Max. Oh, I'm super excited also to test the Face ID, which they say works for more angles
now.
Yes,
that'll be exciting.
So, it didn't get an official like second-gen branding, but they still said it's improved, so I want to see how improved it is.
Right.
I'm excited to test it out. But... 11, super solid phone. I would call it the Pixel killer. If you want any argument against the Pixel, it's like, hey, we got night mode, we got an ultra-wide lens, we got Face ID.
But you don't have a telephoto lens. Gosh.
Deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, watch all the Pixel users flip on the telephoto lens as soon as the Pixel 4 comes out. Oh, you know, a telephoto is really helpful, actually. I like telephoto.
I love how they integrate the software.
It's like we've had telephoto for all these years, and then suddenly they put it on the Pixel, and they're going to go, oh,
this is kind of helpful. I love it. We've had telephoto for what, 4 years now? Is it 4 years?
Yep.
Three?
Seven, years? Eight, yeah. Okay, three.
3 years.
3 years. No need, guys.
No need.
Yeah, I think there's not much criticisms I have. With the new iPhones, that's my job, is to defend them. But it was really easy this year, honestly. I didn't have to try very hard to defend them. And the fact that they kept the 10R at $600.
Yes!
Oh my god.
They're not here to play, dude. They're here to win.
Yeah, Apple wasn't afraid to flex.
Everybody
that.
Was
like,
playing
hey, by the
checkers,
way.
Trying to get as much. No, they're playing chess. They knew.
The best-selling smartphone this year just got $150 cheaper. And every Android OEM just started sweating profusely, just like Jordan Peele sweating.
Yeah,
just, oh god, the best selling phone just got way cheaper.
I know.
And iOS 13's dropping, and I mean we got night mode on the all new iPhones now. I'm excited to try that out. I love that it's not a mode. They're just like it just turns on. You don't need a mode. It just if it's like okay, it's dark. I'll do a long exposure. I was like that makes so much more sense than the stupid. Try night mode and you have to activate it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll probably render it way faster than the Pixels I've used night mode with, which always took like 6 seconds before you could actually look at it. So deep fusion, everything. I'm just pumped. I can't wait
deep
for Friday.
Deep fusion,
to come.
Everything. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
it's to my understanding that this deep fusion thing is just stitching all three cameras and giving you the most unblurred, unpixelated photo.
It's just zoom and enhance, basically. You know.
Okay.
Zoom.
Make enhance. Everything crispier.
Okay, but that's only for photos.
Yes, I don't believe that applies to video. Either way, I'm excited to try it. It sounds convincing, and it's really cool to see now that most of the iPhone lineup is notched, no home button, Face ID.
True.
The only thing left without that is the iPhone 8.
I was surprised that stuck around too. I mean, I get why it's doing it because I thought I was convinced like iPhone 8 is iPhone SE 2 or whatever they want to call it. That's it. Oh, okay. Maybe iPhone 8 is just iPhone 8. There's your SE 2. Now that I'm seeing the lineup, because we didn't know what was going to happen to XS, XS Max. We didn't know what was going to happen to XR. The fact that XR stuck around and when they showed them on display like that, it's like, okay, right. I understand this lineup more now. Maybe in March we will see SE resurgence again with it. But if they didn't, I understand why there's no need for it now.
Sure. It'd probably just be the iPhone 8 body with an A13 chip. That's all I think it would be.
But then just discontinue the iPhone 8 then, or enhance it with specs or something.
That's exactly what they did with the original SE. They were still selling the 5S when the 6S came out until March. Then the SE came out, and they stopped selling the 5S. Made perfect sense.
Looks like they're lining
up. If you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap up, what's that?
One more thing.
No. There is no one more thing,
dude.
Nick.
You were so mad on the live stream. I was just cracking up. I was cackling like Emperor Palpatine. Like Tim Cook left it on such like an abrupt note. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, there's been some chit chat that they scrapped it from the event because of the leaks going around from CoinEx. And once he tweeted that, they were like, "Oh, we can't do it now. Everyone's expecting it." But I don't know. Wishful thinking.
The way Tim paused and he was just like, what a day. And he looked like that. He looked around like he's scanning the room. They're looking at this. And it could have easily gone, but we have one.
There could still be one this year.
There was 15 minutes left to make it a full 2 hours.
Yep.
And I'm like, what is it going to be? Tile? What? I just want to show you what the team has been working on with one more. But then again, we might get it next month, you know?
So. Next podcast, I think we should talk about what the October event we'll have in store.
Either that or have Marquez Brownlee on the show. One of the two.
Stop it.
Of course.
Stop. Sorry. Wait. Air Power is dead.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thank you all for watching. Ooh, love these tunes, Randy.
Thank you
for bringing them in. And we will catch you all next week, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.